I was gonna sing this song, Heal My Heart Today. So we heard like the report about Brother Dale about his lungs collecting fluid. We just reached out and just prayed for him. We trust in the Lord for him. We love him so much. Amen. And God is more than able. And then I guess Brother Boyd had reached out to my husband to see if I sing a special tonight. And I was like, well, I don't even know what I would even sing. But then it just came to my heart, like, Brother Dale needs that breath of God upon him. And so I want to sing that song called This Is the Air I Breathe. That's it. Brother Dale has served us with all his heart. I can't deny it. And like in this song, like one of the stanzas in it says, like when his holy word is spoken to us, like life is being brought to us. So Brother Dale has brought us life for many years. For the few years we were here, he brought us life. We're just trusting the Lord for him. We love him. We holding on. We still holding on. So I do my best on singing this. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your living word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. You are my healing. For you, Brother Dale. You are my healing. Your loving hands healing my pain. You're my strength when I am weak. You're my strength when I am weak. You draw me close to thee. You are my King. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily daily bread. Your living word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Jesus, and I'm desperate for you.
Let's all stand. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of power and love as we sing.
You saints, good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We had a real good time in Marion, South Carolina, so that was a good little time to good. I had an opportunity to preach in my hometown, so that was awesome. We had a good opportunity with all the saints there and just a wonderful group of people. But it's good to be back and back home for a second. We're gonna be on the road again. But let's go ahead and turn over to Genesis 13, 5-15, and just take a little topic tonight, prepared for the promises. And before we read this, let's just go into the word to the author. Lord, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, like our prophet told us, it's like looking to the sheet music. And if we can just get into the rhythm of what's laying here in the word, and Lord, if the conductor, the spirit of the conductor, can tell us what's laying here and what we're supposed to be doing, we can just see how everything's supposed to unfold. I pray, God, that you'll be with us tonight, Lord. Just enter into that rhythm of the word, Lord Jesus. Enter into the rhythm of the music for this age, Lord Jesus, so that we know we can find our place. Be with us tonight, Lord, we pray. And you'll just bless this little service, Lord, here in the middle of the week, and give us strength, Lord God. Help us in the hour that we're living in, Lord, we pray in your name. And so So as we read this scripture, just think about Abraham and all of the things that God had promised him. And before he could see all those promises come to pass, he had to be completely separated from any unbelief, from anything that was contrary to God's word, so that he could see the promised son made manifest. And so we'll read from verse 5. And it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that is well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." God bless you. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Oh, you think about all the promises that are laying here in the Bible for us. But if we can just separate ourselves from unbelief and just lay claim to God's word. I was preaching this past Sunday on how God doesn't forget his promises, that we've got a God that when a God makes a promise, he's going to back it up. And he's just trusting in us. He's relying on us to take him at his word. And you see here where we've got a story of Abraham and Lot both having different desires. Lot wanted to see, you know, a type of the carnal believer that wants to see how close they can get to Sodom and Gomorrah and the things of the world. But Abraham, once he was separated from Lot, then he could be visited by Melchizedek. Then Melchizedek could come and break the bread and the wine with him. And then he could unfold all of these mysteries of the promised son. And I think today, surely we can see that in our own lives, how that when you truly are separated from all unbelief and see unbelief just drop away from you and you see it maybe like right away into the sunset, then we've got a promise that the Son of Man will be manifest in our lives. And we've got a promise that child, what we've been waiting on all these years will be manifest in our sight. And Brother Branham would say, he said, our thought of God's word calling a total separation. We only know this by as we read the word and see the word manifest. And, you know, all through the scriptures is a story of how the word, when the word is being preached, the word actually will create a separation. It separates it like it separated Abraham and Lot. It separates in the very beginning. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:3, we find that God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And how did he do it? He did it by his spoken word. So the word of God actually began to separate the light from the darkness from the beginning. So does it remain even until this day. And later on in this sermon, Brother Ram would explain that even the day when we're in a meeting, when the word is going forth, it actually separates. It separates the true and the false. It separates. It actually will cause your unbelief to begin dropping away. The word of God, when it's received in a penitent heart, it's going to cause you to begin believing and begin. It changes the way you think, you see. And in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." I think surely that we can see how that mirrors our own Christian experience, how our life was all in chaos. And then we heard the word of God, and then that word took our life that was in chaos and darkness and actually began to mold it and began to separate us from the things of the world. Just looking at, if you can look back in your own experience, maybe you used to hang around with the wrong crowd and hang around with people that were smoking and vaping and drinking alcohol and cussing like sailors. But then you heard the word and it caught your attention and began to draw you away from that. And so it separated you from that old group of friends. It truly will separate you. It makes you not want to hang around that anymore. I saw that even in my children's life. Zach used to work out with a group of friends, and they weren't the best group of friends to have. But once he got saved, he met one of them one time in the gas station parking lot, and he's like, I just can't hang around that person anymore. Why? Because he heard the word of God, and it separates you. It changes things. I thank God that God can take chaos and turn it into order. Now, there's one way you can tell the difference between the devil doing something and God doing something. The devil is going to always be an author of chaos. Chaos and darkness and confusion, where you don't know what's going on, and you're just what is wrong and what is right, wondering whether somebody's telling the truth or not. That's what the devil is, the author of confusion. And that's one thing I always want to stand when I preach and when I declare what I believe. I want people to know where I stand and what I believe on things, because that's what God is all about. That's what light is. God is the author of light and life and illumination and taking chaos and tearing down all those things that represent darkness and chaos and bringing order. Just like Babylon was the symbol of confusion when all their language was turned to where they couldn't understand each other's language. That's the total opposite of God giving knowledge and understanding. I love when you read the book of John constantly says, well, we know over and over again. He says we know because God brings understanding and revelation and truth and order to the thing. And so you can see how the word actually separates light and darkness and chaos and order. It actually produces a separation. And 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, there our new birth parallels what God did in the creation, where he took chaos and shone light, the light of his word, and brought order out of chaos. And now Paul's saying he did the same thing with our hearts, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Our dark, reprobate heart that didn't want nothing to do with God, and God caused the light to shine out of that darkness, to shine in our heart, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And even in 2 Peter 1:19, now this is one of my favorite scriptures, because Peter's talking about, he's saying, we saw all these things. I was there up on the Mount Transfiguration when we heard a voice. I was there when we saw so many wonderful things. But he said, but now we got a more sure word of prophecy. And what more sure word of prophecy is that? The light, that as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The new birth, that's what the new birth is, the light of God's word, to take that darkness and that chaotic old life and change you, to separate you so that you ain't like you used to be. Now, that's kind of the centerpiece of this message tonight, is that we got to be separated. That's what the new birth does. That's what the holiness of God does, is it sanctification is another word for separated. And when you're separated from the things of the world, you don't want to go back to that anymore. You're separated and you're cleaned up, and you're not like a Nazarite in the Old Testament. You're separated from it, and God has taken you and removed you from that to where your conscience has been cleaned out. You don't want that anymore. You don't want all that. You don't want to look at that nastiness anymore. You don't want to drink those things that you used to drink. You don't want to smoke the things that you used to smoke. You've been cleaned out. And in every stage
stage of your journey, you got to be separated before God can do something in your life. You want the new birth? For first, you got to be sanctified in your soul, and then God can manifest his promises to you. You want to see the Son of Man manifested in your midst? You got to be cleaned out. You got to be separated, and then you can see that promise. You want a body change? You got to be cleaned out. You got to be separated. You got to be separated from your own ideas, from your own will. You got to be cleaned out if you want to see God manifested in fullness. God's light always brings clarity, and it removes confusion, and it removes darkness. Now, all these stories in the Old Testament, God, through his light, he separated the darkness and separated light. He even separated the water from the land in the beginning. And how did he do it? In every case, he did it by his word. God spoke, and the water was separated from the land. So Brother Ram said he had a reason for that. Now look, listen to that real quick, how he did that in Genesis chapter 1. God said, he spoke it, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, if you want to paint a picture, if you could see like a cross section of the sky and the ocean, there's the whales swimming underneath, and there's the water. And he divided that water from the water that's in the atmosphere. That's got clouds and the air that we breathe. Now, come on now. We're not talking about some dome over the earth or some nonsense like that. We're talking about what the Bible speaks of, that the firmament is the Bible calls it the heavens. The heaven is the firmament. You look up in the sky, and in the daytime, the ocean water is reflected off of the sky, and it bounces back, and you can see it looks blue. But at nighttime, you can see the Bible refers to all the stars that are painted in the firmament. And God is telling us here in the Bible, Moses actually is telling us here in the Bible that he divided, by his word, he divided the water that is in the atmosphere and the water that is under the ocean, with all the seas, and he divided it by his word. And in Genesis 1:9, he said, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. So again, he divided by his word. He divided all the water that was just floating around. He divided it from the land and caused the land to appear. It was his word that separated. It's his word that separated during the 7 days of creation. And it's his word that separates today. You see, even just now, as I'm speaking these words, it's his word that separates. That'll make you think, is he telling the truth? Is that really true, or what's true? My own ideas, my own conception about what the Bible says, or is it true what the Bible says about it? What's true? And the word actually going forth will separate the truth from the false. It will separate faith from unbelief. How do we know that? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word is like a sword. What does it do? It separates. It says piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, that the word of God can actually separate and divide. So you know what we're talking about when we're preaching about flesh and spirit and soul. You know where the word is hitting and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, that's really what the preaching of the gospel is to do. It's to not stroke our fur like a kitty that you don't want to upset, but it's actually to prick us and make us examine ourselves and see where we are and what our state is. Because what? It's actually like Jesus said in Matthew 10, the word was not given to bring peace, but it was actually given to separate, to bring division. Oh, you know, you go to a home where the father and mother maybe believe in just a nice tape ministry or something, and the other people believe in things a little bit different way, and you can't help but have a division. One believes going to church, the other doesn't believe going to church, and you can't help, if you stand on what you believe, you can't help but be divided. There's going to be a division. But I don't want to be divided from God. I want to believe what we might be divided from one another, but if we'll keep looking to Christ so that we're united with him, he's the one I want to be united with, and I want to be separated from all of my unbelief and separated from all of my ideas and separated from all of my will and fully united with him. And you'll never be united with God until you're totally separated from all of your unbelief. That's what Jesus said. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall they be of his own household. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that we disrespect our mother and father. That doesn't mean that we don't honor somebody that's older than us. But what it does mean is that you're going to have to stand on what you believe sooner or later. And you can't say, well, I believe this, but I'm going to be opposite of that. You've got to, the word of God is what separates us from other things, separates us from a different walk. How could Abraham and Lot walk together if Lot was leaning toward Sodom and Abraham was leaning toward a personal encounter with Melchizedek? It's going to separate you sooner or later. It's, the word was sent to separate. That's why John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And sanctification means separation. How were they sanctified? How were they cleansed? By the word of God that actually was preached for 3.5 years until it began to bring about a change in their life to where they began to leave the old way. Peter, you know, Peter and them, they were probably fishing and spouting off some things that they should not be saying. And you know, Peter was renowned for fishing naked and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, you get sanctified and you'll start leaving all that old rough way behind. It'll begin to change. You. It'll begin to separate you from your past so that you are changed. That's what sanctification means, to set apart or separate for a holy purpose. Amen. Now, aren't you glad sitting here tonight that God wants you to be used for a holy purpose? Amen. Aren't you glad that that's what the gospel was for, to make you holy, to make you clean? We were talking the other night just sitting around about how people in the world, they think a lot of times that their friends are there to help them. But really, if you really examine it, your friends in the world just want to drag you down and keep you in like the crab pot, like crabs being boiled alive, and it's crabs reaching up to pull you, try to get out of the pot, and your friends are reaching down to grab. Boy, I'm enjoying this wine this afternoon. Wouldn't you like some? I'm sure enjoying this. I'm enjoying this television show. Well, don't you want to tune in and watch this television show that you know no Christian has any business watching it? And your friends that you think are so good will drag you down. But I tell you what, the word of God will separate you and clean you up and separate you from those old ungodly friends and those old ungodly ways that you ain't got no business hanging around. God's word, God is light, and his word is light, and his light is life, and that it will separate you from all the darkness, all the nonsense of the world. Oh, nothing likes darkness but a bunch of cockroaches scrambling around behind the fridge and all the dark places. But you turn on the light, and all that will scatter. And I had to put in my disclaimer, not my house. I did get in trouble recently. I preached that at a church, and I didn't put the disclaimer in. That didn't sound right, so I got to put that disclaimer in. Not my house. But you know, we've all. You go to school. You go to a place that a public place or something that's got bugs and things. But you turn on the light, and all that will scatter. Now, look, it's the same way in the gospel. If you want to get rid of a problem in your life, if you want to overcome something, bring it to the light. Oh, the gospel is not about doing some shady business in the darkness over in some back alley, some sidebar discussion. But you want to really overcome and get deliverance and do things the right way. You bring it into the light and shine the light on it. You want to get rid of something, then have a family discussion and get all the family together and say, we're going to air this out in public where everybody knows what's going on. And we're going to shine the gospel light on this until we overcome. If you want to get rid of that pornography devil, then get it out in the light and confess it and say, I'm done with this thing. If you want to get rid of them problems in your house, get it in the light, and you watch it run away like a cockroach. And Brother Ram will say, now today, if God has made a promise, and when that promise is vindicated, then that is light. That is the light of the day. When the word is vindicated, the word for the hour is vindicated. And I thank God tonight that we believe in an alive word. and alive, a present day light. Not, oh, you know, we're talking about how we're preaching meat. We're preaching the real word. But this is not word. This is not meat from some bygone day. This is not meat like from Martin Luther, John Wesley, or the Pentecostal day, but this is a present tense reality. I think that's what differentiates from us from all the other churches of the world is this is alive. This is not just some theology or something, but there's power in this to deliver you. And I think that's what Brother Brown was talking about when he said an eagle's got to eat fresh meat. Fresh meat like you go down into the river and an eagle fishes out a trout, and it ain't just a trout that it catches. It's got some decay to it, but it's still thrashing around a little bit. In other words, it's still got some blood pulsing in it, and that's what we want to feast on today. We want to feast on the present tense reality of a living God with some meat that's still got some life in it. That's what I want to serve. Every time I preach, I want to preach a word that's got some life, some power in it that will deliver you, not something to just memorize some quotes or just learn some theology, but something that will change every fiber of your being. Something that will make you walk right and live right and talk right. Something that will separate you from the things of the world and make you live holy and make you be a real son and daughter of God. That's why John 1:4 says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. Oh, every promise of God's word is light. He separated in Genesis life from death. And Genesis chapter 3:24, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. And there's that sword again. A flaming sword. A sword to divide. To prevent them from going back. I'm sorry. What's God doing? He's separating holiness from unbelief. And he's placing a sword between to separate unbelief, that unclean, look what they had gotten themselves into. Almost something like, forgive me if this sounds wrong, but almost something that sounds like you'd find it on Jerry Springer or Geraldo or one of them, all that mess that they had turned into. What do you mean you got a child of a beast, and you almost like you who's your daddy? One of them situations like, well, who's your? Come on now, I'm not trying to make light, but this is a real thing. And God said, because God's like, I can't, you can't come and eat from the tree of life in that condition. All that nonsense. And you see, that's how the devil will get us in situations like that in life, where your life is just all messed up in chaos. And God, how is God going to fulfill his promises in a situation like that? He's got to have a holy being that he can work through. He's got to have a holy life that he can fulfill his promises in. And that's why he put that flaming sword there, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You can't eat from the tree of life if you ain't living a holy life. You can't eat from this tree of life if you ain't separated. Oh, church, if you want to eat from this tree of life, you got to get your life cleaned up. And how better way to get your life cleaned up than by the word? Let the word begin to get a subject. Oh, let the word begin to move in your life. And you'll watch all that unbelief and everything begin to drop away, because the tree of life separates. And access to the tree of life requires separation. Oh, Eve questioned just one little phase of God's word, Brother Branham said. And if we believe the word of God, it is the word of life to us. But if we question the word of God, it's death to us. Do you see what Brother Branham's message is molding us into? To a place where we don't doubt not one thing. We're not like Sarah sitting back in the tent snickering at the promise of the Son of Man. We're not like Lot wanting to go down to the Sodom and Eden, or we're not like the children of Israel wanting their leeks and onions back where they came from. But the unbelief is dropping away from our life to where we can believe truly that all things are possible. That's our problem, that we just can't grasp that these promises laying here in the Word are really for us. Even now, we're battling it out. Is it really for me? Is it really here on this Wednesday night meeting in the middle of the week? Is all these promises really for me? Can I hear in the middle of the week, after I've been working hard all week, can I really get a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Is the power of God still manifest in my life? And you know, Brother Ram said that's what Lot typed, the type of somebody who says, well, I don't know if the days of miracles are past or not. I don't know if the promises of God are really true. I don't know if discernment really is true. I don't know if the word will really do what it says it will. But the word of God is still operating, it's still separating, and it will do what it says it'll do because there's a God backing it up that doesn't forget his promises. That's what Isaiah chapter 60 said. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. God will continually has been separating, and that's what he's doing tonight. He's still speaking his word of life to those who want to believe it. And the world is in gross darkness. He said, you can see it in every meeting. He separates faith from unbelief. He speaks out. He declares himself to those who will believe and have faith in him. He's separating. Separating in every meeting, separating, until the final separation, when they'll separate the sheep from the goats. He's separating. And you know, that Hebrew word nazir, there's a Hebrew word nazir that means consecrated or separated. Now, if you're a nazir, to be a nazir, you have to take a vow to be separated, to be consecrated. And the kind of vow you have to take is called a Nazirite vow. And that Nazirite vow means I'm doing away with all of my own will. I'm separating myself totally to God. And when you separate yourself by taking a Nazirite vow, it symbolized a total dedication to God. Amen. Now, Brother Brown didn't explain these things just so we'd learn about it, but he explained it so that it would inspire something in us. Amen. So that when we go home, there's something stirring within us that I want to be like that. Amen. I want to be separated to God so much that God can use me, that he can come down and speak to me in the cool of the evening like he did Adam, and speak to me like he did Abraham, and reveal himself to me like he did Moses in the burning bush. I want to be identified with those characters. I want to be separated like Samson was. It emphasized holiness and separation from worldly pleasures and impurities. If you're going to be a Nazirite, you can't be drinking alcohol because you're separated. Oh, but we've got so carried away today. Well, I think I can take a little toddy every now and then. I think I can get all caught up in all the stuff that the world is doing. But if you're going to be a Nazirite, you can't do it. If you're going to be a real, if you're going to be the antitype of what the Levitical priests were, you can't be You got to stay away from that stuff. And a Nazirite vow produces something that is visible in the life of the believer. You know, they got Samson had his 7 long locks that everywhere he went, they could look and see, well, he has taken a vow of separation. And that's true in the life of our sisters today. You when you go through Walmart, everybody will look at you because you are different. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be different. He don't want us to look like the world and look like the trash and the holiness of the world. But he wants to. And I'm sorry if that can offend you. But listen, it's like a garbage can out there. And forgive me if that offends you that I use the word trash, but that is, it's a garbage can out there. And God doesn't call you to live like a garbage can. He doesn't call you to look at the smut and trash of the world, but he's called you to live a holy, clean life. And God is going to have a holy, clean life. I feel like screaming it out like Brother Ram did when he saw that church walking by at the end, and he said, get in line. You've got to get in line if you want to take a rapture. You got to get in line, and it's going to be visible. A Nazirite vow is going to be visible, where somebody can look at you, the world can look at you and say, that person is separate. They've been separated to something. Maybe they don't understand what it is, but they know that you ain't like them. You ain't like them. Something has got a hold of you. And the Nazirite vow required personal sacrifice and discipline. I wonder tonight how many of us could say that we're really disciplined. I like what Brother Richard Wilson said. He said, make time for the word. It's my life. And sometimes we get that frame in our mind. Well, I got to make time to read my Bible. I got to make time to read to pray. But is it really your life then? If you got to set aside time and you got to lay aside all that nastiness on TV to make time for God, is it really your life? It's supposed to be your life. If you love it, it'll be your life. It'll be your everything. It'll be your all if you're really in love with Jesus Christ. And in Numbers, the sixth chapter, a Nazarite call was to separate themselves from all the world. Separated, separated. Nothing of the world. Separated. No strong drink and no contact with the dead. You got to stay away from any dead thing, anything that will cause you any kind of a hindrance. No contact with the dead and no razors, which is why our sisters don't cut their hair. Because it's a separation. You're showing, that's what Paul said. You don't cut your hair because of the angels. And the angels are the ministering spirits that bring you the word. And so you're not cutting your hair because you believe the word of God that has been preached. And it is a visible sign to you that you are subject to the word of God that has been held over your life. That's why Brother Brandon will say today when we see our sisters wearing long hair as the Bible said they should, I think it's a Nazarite sign that they want to follow the Lord. Listen to what he said, no matter what the price. No matter what the price. Will people at school make fun of me? Yeah, but God's got your back. People at work make fun of me. Yeah, but God's on your side. Listen, when the time comes, when people are getting laid off and people are losing their jobs and people that you graduate with can't find work, oh, it'll be good to have God on your side. And we're not doing things. We're not working to get a reward. But I tell you what, God looks and sees when you got faith and you're living a separated life because you're in love with him and you're wanting to live for him. God knows. God knows if you're a real believer. He knows if you're a real Abraham, if you're a real believer like that. I'm telling you, it's good to be separated. I thank God that God has given us the ability to live a separated, holy life that's clean, that's sanctified, that's set apart from the world. And oh, when we go to bed at night, that our whole home can have an atmosphere of peace and it's not chaos with the television playing all kinds of stuff on it. But we're living in a God can change the atmosphere of our being and change the atmosphere of our mind so that we're not living all caught up with all these mind battles and things like the world. Brother Bram said, I believe tonight that every man, woman, every boy and girl that's born of the Spirit of God is a Nazarite unto the Lord because they have separated themselves from the cares of the world and whatever the world has got to say. You are a separated people, holy unto the Lord. Now, when Brother Bram was preaching this quote is from another message. He said, you are not the same as them. Right. And later on in this message, he'll get to the point. There's silver dollars and there's pennies. You ain't the same. You are a separated people. Oh, God don't want you to be the same. He don't want you to be the same as everybody out there. You are different. And you are different because of the effect that the word has had on your life. Not by any particular goodness or something, righteousness in yourself, but the effect that the word has had on your life has changed you. And that has made you a separated people, holy unto the Lord, dedicated to the word and the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, Brother Brown said in the message, the token, he said, the Holy Spirit is an eternal token written across your heart, soul, makeup, mind, body, everything else, that you are a separated person from unbelief. You're a separated person from the things of the world. You are separated from death. You're separated from everything. And you are a product that God has sealed into the kingdom by his Holy Spirit. Through separation is the only way to bring light. Now, listen, education can't do it. And we're not talking about education at the school. We're talking about education in the church. Education won't do it. Learning and rote memorization and just learning it. Oh, but you've got to have a personal revelation of Jesus Christ. Science can't do it. History and math can't do it. But God has one way of bringing light to you. That's when you're ready to separate yourself from all the things of the world and all the cares of the world and cling only to God's promised word. Now, that's been the problem all down through the ages, hadn't it? People don't want to separate. Right. Eve went out and unbelieved, and she just never really got in her head that she had done something wrong. She just didn't want to separate from that. Always carrying along. Well, I think surely there's something good that come out of this. That's our problem, isn't it? We think our way is the right way to do it. And we're just not ready to separate ourselves. We're not ready to be a real Nazarite. You know, Brother Branham said, now this is maybe a choker. Paul was a Nazarite. He was separated. Now listen, that means that if Paul was a Nazarite, then I can be a Nazarite. And you can be a Nazarite, a real Nazarite, because a Nazarite is a Nazir that is separated, somebody that has left everything behind. Paul was separated from his Orthodox church to the word of the living God. He said it is a total separation. We're not to go back into the world no more or have anything to do with the world, but cleave only unto God. Jesus is coming after a bride, a woman, a church that's separated from the cares of the world. She is separated from the fashions of this modern age that we live in. Oh, praise God. That means when you go into the supermarket aisle and see how the world's dressing, or you see how all your friends dressing, you don't have to dress like that. Where everybody can see every curve and every dimple and everything about you, and there's no secret left to be revealed. But you don't have to live like that. You are separated from that. She is separated from the traditions of churches. She is separated only to God, and God is the Word, and as husband and wife is one, so does the bride and the Word become one, for the Word is living through the bride. Oh, and that's our identification. Brother Bram will say, that is your credentials as a believer. Aren't you glad tonight that we've got that as an identification? You know, going through your Christian journey, people will want to identify you and label you as this or that. But we don't have to go by how they label us. They might label us as a Pentecostal or a charismatic. And, you know, people will try to label you by what church you go to. Oh, you come from Lula or whatever. And they'll put that label on you. And that might mean different things to different people. It might Pentecostal, charismatic, fundamental, whatever. They might put, you know, they tried to put a label on Jesus that he was Beelzebub. But that wasn't his identification. That wasn't his credentials. Our credentials come from the Word of God. And Brother Branham said the only credential that a believer has is the Word of God living in him, declaring Jesus Christ lives in that person. It's the only credential you need. That's the only credential we need. People will put labels on you and tell you this and that and tell you you look weird, you look funny because you're living a separated life. What kind of a odd-looking thing must a Nazarite be in with his seven locks hanging down from the back of his head? Oh, but he didn't take his identification from what people called him, but what the Word of God said about him. And oh, praise God, when I look into the Word and I can be identified with what the Word of God says I am and be glad, I can be glad to live a holy, separated life. He said, that's a separated Nazarite unto the Lord, separated for the Word's sake. Amen. Separate yourself from the woman of this world. Join yourself to the blessings that God has promised to every believer. Lot was like a perfect type of the lukewarm, carnal-minded believer today that still wants to cling with what their tradition says instead of taking what the Word says. Yeah, I'm trying to find a place to helicopter in. I don't like going over 45 minutes on Wednesday night. I'm trying to. He said, when the second Adam was created in the womb of a woman and came to the world, he was a Nazarite to the Word of God. So Jesus' whole life was totally separated from the cradle all the way to the culmination of his ministry. There was, oh, you think about what an example Jesus was. There was no unbelief found in him nowhere. He said, who can condemn me of sin? Sin is unbelief. If I haven't done just what was prophesied for this age, if I haven't met the requirements of what Messiah is supposed to do, then don't believe me. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, tell you who he is. So there's our real identification. When the scripture says, the scripture said who he was, and the scripture will say who you are, because every scripture that speaks of Jesus also speaks of you, because you're part of him and you're wrapped up in him. He said, that's why he said, the greater works than these shall you do, because you're going to do the same thing. You're going to act the same way, because the same life that was in Jesus is in you. And that makes you a separated, set apart people. And any real born again Christian is a Nazarite, totally separated. Oh, there's a question for us tonight. How separated are we? Always, Brother Branham said, the Word requires total and complete separation. Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie. Let mine be true. And that should guide the compass of our life. Something pops into our mind that's contrary to the Word, cast it down.
I can't agree with that. I'm not going forward with that. It's not possible. It's not true. The devil, that's the devil. The devil's tactic is to give us some reasonable doubt. Yeah. Just something reasonable. And then we'll accept it. Something reasonable. Come with it. Well, it's reasonable to think that the doctor's report is true. Oh, but if God's word says contrary to that, take God's word. Because God backs up his promises. Isaiah was separated from the church world. Moses was separated from the church world. And all the prophets and Jesus and the apostles. And all the way down to Abraham, who was a separated person from the world. God told him, separate yourself from your kindred and from all of the unbelief and come out into a world that you've never walked in before and amongst a people that you've never known before. Come out and separate yourself from anybody that would be contrary to what you're believing, that you would be a Nazarite under the Lord because he was holding a promise of a son. You know, today we're holding that same promise, not the promise of Isaac, but we're holding a promise of a son to see God fully manifested in our lives. And he's not going to be fully manifested until we separate from all unbelief. Abraham had to separate. He had to leave Chaldea. He had to separate from his father and from his mother and from his kindred. And what separated him tonight? Because he believed that God was able to keep the promise that he had given. He believed. And Lot did not. Lot could not believe that the days of miracles were not past. He went down into Sodom and Gomorrah after all that, but Abraham held on. And God in a human form sat down before him and talked. And Sarah was almost 100 years old, laughed because the angel said, I will visit you according to the time of promise. Now here's, and I'm going to be closing in just a second. But here's one of the strangest things that Brother Branham would ever say is that all believers are not the same. That Lot was like a penny and Abraham was like a silver dollar. Lot wanted the world. Brother Branham would say, you pull out a bunch of change, there's pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, dollars, all in coins. Now that's where the world is in God's hand. There's some people that just can have a penny's worth of it. And God can only use them in a penny way. That's all they can buy. Don't reject them. If they can't believe the real truth, don't turn them down. Don't kick them out and say they're not in it because God uses pennies sometimes. Lot was just a penny. Abraham was a silver dollar. So it taken 100 lots to make an Abraham. Now, how do we know which one we are? If our credentials are the word of God, and the word of God is our identification, that's how we know what we are. If I identify myself with Abraham, if I identify myself with Lot, that tells what we are. So when you read the Bible, that's what the power of the gospel is. When you get alone in the morning time with your coffee and you're reading through the Bible, it's like taking a DNA test. It identifies back to show you who your daddy is. It identifies back to show where you come from, to identify you. It is your identification, and it will show you what you are. Tonight, I want to encourage you. I don't want to just have a little penny amount of faith, but I want to have enough faith in my life. I want to have enough separation from unbelief to where if I desire something big from God, and we're talking about a promised son, you're going to have silver dollar faith to see the promised son. You can't have a little penny faith and see the Son of Man revealed in your life. You got to have silver dollar faith. Brother Brown even said, in one place, we can barely have enough faith for a toothache. How are we going to take a rapture? How are you going to take a rapture with a little penny faith? And see how he's identifying us with our faith. God don't care what you look like or how you part your hair, but he cares about your faith. Do you believe his word? And your faith is tied to how he's looking at you. Are you somebody that was going to believe everything he said, or are you somebody that's going to can't really believe that he's still a present tense help, that there's still power in this gospel? Oh, Lot was just a penny, and Abraham was a silver dollar. He said he could only take a penny's worth. That's all he's got. So you see people that say, I don't believe in healing.
I don't believe in these things. Just know it's a penny, but just let him alone. See, just a penny's worth. So that's all he can buy. Don't stop him. Just let him alone. Remember, that's just all the farther he can go. He said Lot couldn't believe in discernment and the powers of God that's promised for this day. But I might not be able to understand all that's in there, but I believe it. It's God's word. I want to separate myself from anything that's contrary to it. How do we separate ourselves? We get into the rhythm of the word. Get into the word, because the rhythm of the word, as you're going through the sheet music, it'll tell you what's coming up. And I'm trying to make it short here, but Brother Ram will say the sheet music will tell you whether you're an Abraham or whether you're a Lot and what's going to happen next, what's coming up down the road. It'll tell you all these things if we'll just get in the rhythm of the word. To separate ourselves fully from unbelief, fully from the word, fully so that we can take God at his word. If God said it, and you know, as the musicians come forward, the bride will be separated. The bride will be totally separated from the world. The bride has to be separated to move into the promises. If God promised it, you can have access to it. But you've got to separate yourself from your unbelief. Brother Brown will say these words, are you willing to separate yourself tonight from all unbelief to hear the word of the Lord? If you'll do it and believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, these things, what he has promised to do, we see him doing it. We see him. We've seen so many things that God has done. This weekend, I was talking to Zach and Lily, and Lily was telling us about her brother-in-law, how he got electrocuted and his shoulder was shattered. The socket was shattered in his shoulder, and they were going to have to do all this surgery on him. But you know what? The church got together, and they prayed, and they got some saints together that believed that the power of God was still real. And they did another x-ray when he went back to the doctor, and there wasn't nothing wrong, and the doctor was mystified. They gathered around because that shoulder that they had seen was shattered, and he couldn't use it, was completely healed. And oh, that's why tonight we're not talking about just some meat from some bygone age, but we're talking about some meat with some blood in it. Some meat that's still pulsing. Some that's still got some thrashing around in it, like a little trout that an eagle just pulls out of the stream. There's some life in it. It's not something dead. It's not something dead from a bygone age. And tonight I invite you, as we stand to our feet, if you need something tonight, I believe that we can have confidence in a present tense living God. If we'll just separate ourselves, lay down our unbelief, lay down all those carnal ideas that the devil's trying to throw at us to say, well, you can't have it. It's too late. It's beyond the reach of anything that God can do. Well, that's what the doctor said when they looked at his shattered shoulder. But that ain't what God said. And that ain't what those believers said when they laid hands on him. That, oh, we're serving a God that's still God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And tonight, it maybe remember all those times, maybe years ago, that God come on the scene for you. And remember that and let that lift up your faith to so that you realize that that same God that was with you then, he's still with you today if you can just believe him. You love the Lord? Let's worship him. If you have a need, come forward and we'll be glad to pray with you.
But thou art strong.
He'll keep you when you can't keep yourself. He's the one that's doing it. That's what we want, isn't it? To walk close with him.
guide me gently, Savior, to thy kingdom, so to thy soul. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea.
That's what we want, isn't it? Just a closer walk with Him. And you'll get that closer walk by walking through the Word. Amen. So, Brother Ryan brought up these. I suppose it's a little gift from Sister Alicia to and Brother John to Brother Dale and Sister Dale. And you're asking if the ministers could come and just pray over these. Amen. So, Brother Aaron and Brother Luis, Brother Wade, if y'all come and we'll just pray over these at this time. And yes, yeah, Sister June, if you want to go ahead and give your testimony.
Charlotte requested prayer for Sister Gail Sunday for the poison ivy. Sister Gail called me after I got home, and she said before that prayer was over, she could literally see a difference in her skin with the poison ivy. And she had a very severe case, and there was a witness. Her daughter's a nurse, and her daughter said, "Mommy, it looks better." So she watches in. She said, "When Wade looked at that camera, she knew right there that it was done and it was over." And she called me to tell Wade about it. And then, you know, we didn't have second service, so I just wanted to give that testimony for Sister Gail. The
Amen.
Lord really did.
Amen. Now, isn't that a comfort to know that God is on the scene and moving?
And I called Brother Darrell Ward and told him, because Brother Darrell just, he loves to hear stuff like that. So
we'll get on out here in the.
So let's all bow our heads. Let's pray over this. Dear Heavenly Father,
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your promises, Lord, that you've given to us, Lord. We just ask, Lord, this special blessing and for these gifts, Lord God, that as they're laid next to Brother Dale, Lord Jesus, that there'll be a benefit and a blessing, and that your anointing will go with them, Lord Jesus. Lord, laying in your word are all these promises that we're not forgetting, Lord Jesus, and we're reminded, Lord, of all the things that you spoke of, Lord, in your word, that you never leave us without a comfort, that you'll never leave us without a help, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these gifts, Lord, will be a help, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'll follow them with a special anointing, Lord God, that you'll send your angel, Lord God, to remind, Lord Jesus, the benefit and be with us, Lord Jesus. Be with our precious brother and precious sister, Lord God, and be with them in this time, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Grant it now, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Let's just sing it. Well, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord, for tonight, Lord, and for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with all the saints, Lord, as they go their different ways. Guide them on the road, Lord Jesus. Granted, I pray, Lord, that you'll just let these words echo in their heart tonight, we pray. Lord, strengthen them and help them all, Lord, we pray in your name. God bless you as you're dismissed. Sing it to him.